Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Okay, listen, today is, you're going to hear maybe the most important message that you'll ever hear. Not because I'm saying it, just the subject matter. Because the subject matter deals with every aspect of your life, young and old, male, female, it makes no difference. This is the key to your future. This is the key to everything in your life. Your situation where you're at is what I'm going to talk about, and it's going to hit an area, and I'll show it to you in Scripture and hope to explain it as good as I can just in a few minutes that I have. But my whole reason to be here is to help you, not to entertain you, not to do anything else, not to say, wow, what a great speaker. Who cares? When I leave here, if Jesus is not here, then I didn't point it in the right direction. So let me decrease and let him increase right now and let him do what he needs to do to touch our lives. Amen. Amen. So let me show you where we're going to go in this, and then we'll pray and I'll give you the title and we'll get into this. So let's go. Where am I looking here? Scripture. Okay, here's Mark. Now watch this here. We'll take a story that you often, we know about. It says, once when John's disciples and the Pharisees, they were fasting, some of the people came to Jesus and they asked, why don't you disciples fast like John's disciples and the Pharisees do? And Jesus replied, as I talked to you before, his answers were not, well, we just don't do it that way, like we would say. Jesus goes off into a thing. It's like, why don't you disciples fast like John's disciples? Well, do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. They can't fast while the groom is with them. And everybody's like, is that a yes or was that a no? I didn't follow what he said. But someday the groom will be taken away from them and then they'll fast. Besides, and he keeps going. No, let's forget about a wedding. Now let's go into a patch of clothing here. Who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old patch, leaving even a bigger tear than before. You're talking about laundry. Then he goes into wine. They just asked him, why don't we fast? What about a wedding and a groom? What about clothing? What about wine? Oh, Jesus. Now, no one puts new wine in old wineskins. For the wine will burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskin. Now, I know that we're 2 months into the year, and most of us have made some New Year's resolutions, right? We have done this. And and we as pastors, we give you kind of an idea of the year, what we're going to do. Okay, we're going to, you know what, this is the year of prosperity. This is a year, the best is yet to come. 2019 is your breakthrough year. What is yours this year? Okay. It's suddenly. We're 2 months into it and we're like, where suddenly, you know? Yeah. How about next year we do wait a while? Okay. So what was last year? What is a ask? What is ask? Ask? Ask. Okay, ask. Okay, now. You say, ask. What is an ask? I don't know. That's not even a good vision name right there. Ask. Oh, Jesus. See. Okay, so. Now, watch. I hadn't gotten into this yet, but it's just interesting. I'm just telling you. So here we have suddenly, and here we have this, and we have all these years. Now, for the mature person that's in this house, okay, we say ask last year, and we say, and then we say and suddenly this year. You and I both know that are mature a little bit. We realize that even though a suddenly can happen, I still have to pray. I still have to study. I still need to go to church. I need to be faithful with my giving. You know what I'm saying? I still need to live for God. We understand we may go through hell during that year before the suddenly comes. We realize there's going to be trials. We understand that being mature because we understand that, you know what, God just doesn't do things and everything's presto and it's heavenly all the time. We have to walk through things. But to the immature person, we can kind of get confused where we say, oh, this is your year of promise. And we're like, okay, good. I don't have to do anything. I just wait for my year of promise. I don't have to do anything. Just as suddenly it's going to happen because pastor said it's going to be a suddenly. So I'm just going to sit back and wait on it. And so you just wait on a suddenly, and you're going to be waiting a long time. So it doesn't happen that way. So 2 years into our suddenly here, I want to talk to you today about don't waste another year. Don't waste the rest of the year. Don't waste the rest of the year. And I'm going to give you reasons here. I'm going to help you with this. Father, help us in Jesus' name, because, Lord, we don't know everything. We're not all that. And God, I pray that you will help me to help my family here and help my friends that I love. This is a second home, Australia, to me. I've been here so much. I love this country, and I come here because of it, and I love the people, and I love the pastors that you've allowed me to have time with. I pray a blessing on them in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. New wine must be put in an old wineskin, is what he said. Jesus, the master teacher, the orator of the universe, has no equal in his sharing. What he does, he sends a message to a bunch of self-righteous people, some hyper-religious people in that generation that he's speaking to, that had an indifference with the gospel, and that you see that was expressed, that they didn't agree the way he was doing it, or why don't you do the way we do it. The religious leaders of that day, and when you look at when Jesus spoke in different arenas out in cities, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, see they're sad, you see, as that those Sadducees would come, not on the basis that they wanted to learn something from the master, they were basically there to go ahead and question his theology. Every time they went, they wanted to question everything that he taught and criticize what he was teaching. Because Jesus had such a fresh, life-changing, exciting understanding of God that they have never heard of, crowds started to follow him. Now, being a society that was religious and traditionalist, they would resort back to their old way of thinking because that's the way they always were taught, is to go back. John's disciples, why don't you do what John's disciples did, and why don't you fast like the Pharisees fast? Because you know what? That's what they did. That's the way they did it. We don't do that. We do something different, and I want to teach you why. So in the text, Jesus decides to teach them something new. I'm going to teach you something that has always been. I know that, but let me go ahead and give you something new. And he gives several examples of it. And you saw the example. He says, if you take a fabric that is old and you put a fabric that is new, after a period of time when you put them together, the washing cycle of these, the old ones are exactly going to get older, the new one, but what it's saying, it's going to tear because eventually the old one's going to wear out and you're not going to be able to use either one of them. Then he says, also wine. Now, everybody knew how to make wine. They drank wine, so this was not something foreign to them. So they knew this. He was just referring to this as an illustration of something they already know to do. And he's given this illustration, and he says, you know what? It would be foolish to take a new wine and put it in an old wineskin. Because, see, Jesus didn't come to add to religion. He came to replace it. See, it's totally different. You can't add to the old with something new. You're going to have to hear today because it's a change. You have to replace it because you all know he's saying, folks, you all know that he's speaking to, that if you take new wine and you put it into an old wineskin, you've got to know there's a processing. You're aware of that, folks. There's a fermentation that has to take place where the material that you put it in has to be able to expand because of fermentation. And as a wine, then, changes that the container that it's in, listen to what I'm saying, the container that it's in must be able to adopt to whatever is put in it. Now, this is all spiritual if you start connecting where we're going here. So he's saying if you put new wine into an old wineskin, it's going to burst because the old wineskin has become dried out. It's become rigid. It's become non-flexible like people in the church have. Rigid. Not expandable. Don't want to hear anything new. Don't want to have anything that would cause me to grow. I'm trying to give you some new wine, but you're not flexible. It's not anything you can contain because you're not there. It's a picture of religion. And if you put new wine, he says, in something old, what's happened, it's going to burst the old and the new, and it's going to be lost and both destroyed. So what is Jesus teaching here? What is he trying to tell us? And he's trying to tell us these things, like we give these things we're going to do. We're going to have suddenlies. We're going to have these things. We're going to have all this stuff happen. And many times it just doesn't happen. We don't have this magical year and everything goes perfect and we don't go through all these different things. So, you know, we got to expect the enemy's going to fight us for every good thing in our life. He's always going to do that. But we've got to always understand when the scripture says greater is he. Come on, you got it. Greater is he. Greater is than he that's in the world. So I got to always realize the devil that may try to hinder me has no hope if I hold on to the one that is able to get me to another level. So to have a great year and to make this thing a magical year, you have to be prepared to make it happen. Hear what I'm saying? Turn to somebody and say, make it happen. Look at me. Too many of you are looking out the window waiting for somebody else to make it happen. It has nothing to do with them. You're going to have to make it happen. You hear what I'm saying? You're going to have to make it happen. No, your ship's not going to come in. No, the white horse is not going to come in and pick you up. You're going to have to make this thing happen. We have survived because of the grace and mercy of God. And maybe we need to think less about how bad it is and thank God that he brought me out of where I was and I'm still rejoicing. Amen. What I am saying is you, if you want a new year, which is really a new opportunity, if you want a new opportunity, you must then have a new mindset, a new thinking, a new belief system, and a new understanding of what's available in God's word. All right, now I'm just getting started. I hadn't gotten ready. I'm getting wrong. Okay, here we go. You can't go through a day, and you can't go through a month with the same mindset and expect things to change. Don't waste another minute. Don't waste another month or day. Don't waste another year. I'm helping you to begin to move from where you're at. You may be sitting by somebody, and it always happens. Somebody is overly expressive in their worship, and it's kind of bothering you. I thank God they put them by you to just spray you, just kind of give you a wave of glory. Some people are still fighting for their freedom, and the way they fight for their freedom is in their praise and worship. I've gone through too much this week, so I've got to praise you, and I've got to worship you. You're saying, well, I don't know. I don't know why you're doing that. Somebody's got a hunger and thirst in this church if we're going to see God move in a powerful way. I need a new opportunity. I may have some problems that I had last year, but I'm not dragging them into this year. I fought some demons, a lot of them last year, but I deny myself to fight them this year because I've already fought them. Some of you are dragging your past into this year and expecting things to be different, and ain't no way it's going to change. You're going to have to get rid of that past. You're going to have to let that go. I'm putting it behind me, and you need to say, I already fought you, devil. I already conquered you, devil, and I'm not going to go ahead and deal with you again. Your mind and thinking is significant to the purposes of God in your life because you cannot change and you cannot become something new unless you get rid of your old thinking. All right. Okay, I wrote this down because I have a little sticky pad, so I thought it might be good. And you might want to take a picture of it because people like to take pictures of things. Put this up here. Put this thing up. The brain doesn't have a delete button, but it does have an update button. And the password is choice. The first step to download this is forgiveness. Okay? Your choice is guiding your life. I'll prove it to you. Your decision making in your head is everything. You think of something else. No, it's not people. It's you. It's the way you're thinking. Okay? I'm going to just show you in scripture. Let's go to some scriptures here. Let's talk a lot. Oh, how I love your instructions. Somebody say think. Yeah, somebody say think.
Think.
Oh, man. I think about them all day long. Do you? Okay, we fail right there. Let's just repent here on one scripture. Do I think about it? No, I think about all my problems. I think about I don't have any money. I think I can't pay my bills. I'm just thinking about I don't have a friend. I don't know anybody. I wish I could get married, but I don't like the guy I did marry. I mean, you're in some kind of thing, problem. What are you thinking on? All right, go ahead. Go ahead. Another scripture. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature, somebody shall think. Okay, so if I'm in sin, I'm thinking about sinful things, right? Okay, so it changes, though. If you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, what do? Talk to me. You think about the things that please the Spirit. Tell me what you're thinking about. Let me give you another scripture then. Somebody say think. Think about the things of heaven, not things of earth. Are you always worried about everything on earth? Do you ever think about heaven? Do you ever think about the place you're going to go? You ever get excited about that? How many are going to heaven? Anybody going to heaven? Okay, a couple excited about it, huh? They're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. This life has governed your mind and governed every thought and governed every action in your life. And you're not realizing you're not of this world. You know what? This is just a rest stop on my way home. You got to understand, I can't wait. Don't ever cry over me when I die. I'm out of this now and nasty and now and hereafter. I'm glad. I'm out of here. Dear brothers and sisters, one final note. Fix. Somebody say fix. So it's broke. If you're saying fix, then your thoughts are broke. Fix your thoughts on what? True, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Somebody say think. Okay, this isn't like a message that is positive thinking. I'm showing you what the Word of God has to say. Think on things that are excellent, worthy of praise. Come on, catalog, folks. Catalog in your mind, where has your head been and what are you constantly thinking about? Oh, I never get a job. I'll never find anybody like me. I'm just not going to ever have any joy in my life. I'm not going to, you know, no one cares about me. I wish I could get a good job, but I never get a good job. Every time I get a friend, they don't like me. I want to take a bath after I talk to you. I feel dirty after that. God, help me. Refuse to repeat your history. By renewing your mind. You got to fix your thinking. Refuse to replay your history by renewing your mind. I can't afford to waste another year. So I'm going to speak in my mind. This is the year of my purpose. This is the year of my destiny. This is the year of favor. This is the year of direction for me. This is the year where no devil can stop me from receiving what God has ordained for me to have. No devil can take that away from me. I have this because I'm his child. He's going to give me what I have. I feel maybe somebody might be catching this. Somebody might be catching this a little bit. As pastors, we stand here year after year hoping what we preach, you may catch it. And if you ever catch it, you'll never be the same again. Your mind. It's amazing to me how people will leave the church because they don't want to receive a new thing. I want to stay where I'm at. Don't challenge me, Pastor Shane. Don't even challenge me to do that. I like it where I'm at. And I tell you what, if you keep challenging me, I'm going to walk out and I'm going to leave. Don't you ever do that. You're running from what God wants you to do in your life. Your mind has to be a new wineskin that can expand to receive the things of God. God cannot give you something if you still have your old thinking. Do you understand you have 60 to 80,000 new thoughts in your mind every day? 60 to 80,000. Do you realize that to count your blessings and to get your mind thinking, you have to have 65 times to write it down, a blessing, to change your thinking. That's how it's locked in. Changing your thinking, the way you were brought up, what's been as a child, all the things that you have that are concreted in your mind. See, some of us need to lay hands on our head. We need to put our hands and say, get your thinking straight. Get your mind right. Get your priorities right. Get your focus right. Get your old thinking right here. Throw away the mindset of yesterday and the garbage that filled up your mind. And go ahead and give God a new container, a new mindset, a new purpose. I don't have time to be depressed anymore. I don't have time to be sick anymore. I don't have time to go ahead and worry about things anymore. I don't have time to think about what other people say about me. I've got to think about some good things. Come on, somebody praise the Lord right now. I got to think of something good. I've got to get rid of demonic habits. And I got to think God's going to do something. This is a new day. Come on, this is a new day. I got a new day coming. I got a new day every time. The reason you have nighttime is to close out your miserable day so you can start again. That's all it is. It's just a new beginning. Thank God. Thank God we have the night and the day. Thank God I don't have to stay in that day all the time. I can actually close the door on that chapter and wake up believing that something is new. This is a new day. I'm thinking as I wake up tomorrow, the Lord made me with a purpose. I will rejoice. I'm not wishing to rejoice. I'm not just looking for somebody to help me rejoice. I'm not looking for you to give me something, buy me something to rejoice. I've made up my mind with you or without you. I will rejoice in what God is doing, and it doesn't matter who you are. Now, see, your mind is not there to torment you as you thought. We think that it's there just to mess us up. You understand your mind is one of the most powerful weapons? It's actually a weapon. My thinking is a weapon. So I prove it. Let's look at scripture. Bible says you must love the Lord your God. You know the scripture. With all your heart, all your soul. Boy, but he has your thinking to it too. So it's not, oh, he has my heart, he has my soul, I'm going to have. No. Does he? He's got to have your thinking. See, the devil is afraid of your mind. He's afraid that you may get one day what the Lord is saying about you. He knows if you get your thinking straight, you become lethal. You become very scary. See, if you get your mind together, the devil knows no weapon he forms comes against you. That's where that comes from. It can prosper. Now, if I just basically use this next scripture and then we closed, we could just have a big altar call from this. And you know, this is one of the smallest scriptures and most powerful in the Bible about this. As you think in your heart, that's who you be. Whatever you think, now think of this, whatever you think, are you where you're at by mistake? No, you thought yourself there. That's what it's saying. You are where you're at because that's what you see about yourself. And that's what you believe about yourself. I was in a grocery store, and you know how they have those magazines, and you start reading, it was a Newsweek magazine, had a story of two twin boys that were raised by a prostitute, crack addict, dope-selling mama that lived homeless. And I found it really interesting here because they had two pictures of the twins on a cover that are now 30 years of age and showed a picture of them. And I turned and I read the article. An article was about this lady that was basically a prostitute, and that's the only way she could buy milk or whatever, and the kids are just in the room while she's prostituting, watching her do drugs, selling drugs, and the little kids grew up that way. At 30 years of age, when the kids are now 30, there was an article that they went out to look for the twins and to find out what happened to them because they were raised the exact same way. They found one of the twins that was in a homeless area in New York City. They finally found him living in a box, and they asked him, he said, tell us about your mom. He told that story how his mom did what she did and so forth, sold drugs, prostituted. And he says, why do you think you're in this place where you're at today? He said, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to be? This is all I saw as a kid. I saw my mom prostitute. I saw her selling drugs. I saw her putting needles in her arm. What do you expect me to do? That's all I grew up knowing. We go over to the brother who is now in a New York stock market, is a millionaire. That's the brother, twin brother. And they asked him, how did you get here? He said, I grew up with my mama doing drugs, being a prostitute, selling drugs, and I decided I just did not want that life. And I made up my mind that I was not going to live that way the rest of my life, so I changed the way I thought. And I came out because I was not going to do it. So that tells me healing begins in my mind. Deliverance begins in my mind. Salvation begins in my mind. Some of you need a checkup from the neck up. Because you got stinking thinking. It stinks. You got to quit. You got to quit. Quit thinking of these things that have happened in areas in your life. And you don't understand what I came out of. That's why I'm the way I'm at. No. The way you're at is because you still believe it in your life. and you don't believe anything better where you can come out of that. I'm trying to help somebody. See, if you don't get a new mind, you can't have a new thing. Let's run. You don't understand how powerful it is. If you don't have a new mind, you can't get a new thing because new things are not put in old things. Okay, give you a little example. Anybody's ever taken a bath here? Who's taken a bath? A lot of people stink here, but you're not even raising your hand. Like, I can't even raise my hand. I'm sure, okay, then maybe you've seen it on TV. So you have a bath, okay? Let me describe what we're talking about. Old thing, new thing. You go ahead and you've been working out and you went to a health club and you're working on it all day long. You're sweating all day. You're sweating. You come home, sit in a tub, and you know what? You ever wash and the water was clean when you started and it doesn't look too clean when you finish? But you don't let the water out. You just get out. Next day you come home, you're all sweaty, all dirty. You get in the same tub, but you turn on some new water. Turn on the water. Fill it back up again. You do this over and over. Is that the way you take a bath? Is you keep sitting in your dirty water, putting in new water? Because that's what you're doing with your life. You're saying, God, give me a new thing, but he's putting it in dirty water. Because you got to get rid of something to get something. God's not going to give you something new till you get something, till you get the old out of your life. You understand? This is a big day for you to make a decision what you're going to do with this. You're going to have to make a decision to get this out. Because the reason you can't do it is because it's been too long and these things have developed roots in your life and you can't just pull it up. You got to chop it down. So no, you're not going to have a suddenly change in your mind when it's been sitting in a place that's grown roots. You're going to have to chop it, chop it, chop it. That's why you come every week and then bam, here's Pastor, bam, he's knocking his thing. Bam, if you got to come up to this altar 15, 20 all year long to come to this altar to chop that tree down, get a backbone and chop the tree down. Okay, I hadn't gotten to the best part. If you're going to get rid of your old thinking, how many ready to get, want to get this? If you want to get rid of it, you're going to have to come out of it head first. That's the only way you're going to change, is you're going to have to. How's a baby come out? How's it born? You're coming out with your feet, there's a problem. Everything that changes in your life, you've got to come out head first. You're going to be birthed to a new thing, I'm going to pull you out to this world head first. Your mind, your thinking, your head comes out first to see your miracle. It's always first. How do you praise him? I praise him with my head before my mouth does. Because my head, my mind says, mouth, sing the song. My mind says, raise your hands. My mind says, go to the altar and pray. So, see, that wasn't just something, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just kind of a robot. I'm just going, no. Everything you did, you have thought about that. It's in your mind. See, if you can get your head out, guess what? Your body will follow. Your lifestyle will follow. Your emotions will follow. Your actions will follow. Your feet will follow. If I could get just into my head, I am more than a conqueror. If you can just get into your head, I am the head and not the tail. If you could just get into your head, he has great plans for you. He has a future for you. If you could just get into your head, you are blessed. Okay. I'm working hard for you, bro. I'm giving it what I can. Prodigal son. Know him? Heard about him? Okay. Prodigal son. Dad, I'm through with you, man. I'm moving out of the church, getting out of the house. I want to get my inheritance, and I believe I can do better than what I'm doing here. And I go out and take what I get from you, and I'm gonna really turn my life is gonna really. But I'm moving out of the house. You know, it's always dangerous to be a big shot and say, I'm just going to move out of the house of God. So I think I know what's going on. I think I got this thing all figured out. Well, snowflake, you really don't know what you're getting ready to do. You know what I'm saying? You're getting ready to mess up. And I'm just saying, the prodigal at one time had it good. You ever can talk about when something is lost, you didn't appreciate it until it was gone? You know how people don't recognize anything at all? Who would have thought, oh, this brings me to another, who would have thought Jesus would stand up and said, who's the greatest? And he says, John the Baptist. There he is, John the Baptist. Now, you understand the way John the Baptist looked? He looked like a rock star with his hair. He hung out in the desert all the time. His skin is basically leather. You know, it's just leather. It's just he's been out there. He has a beard. He's drinking got wild honey, and he's eating locusts. So he's got a locust leg hanging in his mouth. He got honey dripping from his chin. Follow me, repent. Well, yeah, I would. I'd be scared. And Jesus has to tell them, none greater than John the Baptist. Although John the Baptist, they saw him, they knew him, but they didn't recognize who he was. You know, I wonder how we don't recognize sometimes until after the fact on this. But see, we've got to understand that what God wants to do in us is now found really in this simple story of the prodigal. What does he do? He takes his money, goes out. Money's on me, got friends, got everything. I'll buy the drinks, I'll buy the party. Come over to my house, come do this. What happened, have you noticed in the world, some of us have been in a world that they're your friends as long as you can contribute to them and as long as you can be part of what they are. It's basically you're kind of prostituting yourself is what you're doing. It's that you need them and you're giving to them because you need some kind of confirmation back. That's what you're doing. And so what happens is here he is, he goes out, he spends it. When his money's gone, guess what? His friends are gone. Where does he end up? He ends up in a pig pen. He's in a pig pen, standing in a pig pen now. He's in mud. Got pig food. He's eating pig food. Got corn husk. Have you ever been a pig farm? Got corn husk and that the pigs eat sitting all around. Got mud on his shirt, on his pants. Nothing wrong with his hands. Nothing wrong with his feet. Nothing wrong with his body. He's healthy. He's just standing in a pig pen. And as he's standing there, his legs couldn't get him out. His hands couldn't get him out. But what got him out? He came to his senses. Came out head first. He's stuck in a situation and ends up realizing, you ever realize this? I'm better than this. What am I doing in my life? I'm better than this. I don't care how I was raised. That's me. Now I'm here. I'm better than this. I expect more of me than what I'm seeing in my life. There's no way this is where my destiny is and where I'm supposed to live. I'm better than this. The people that I'm working for used to work for me. And now I'm working for them. Boy, he woke up. I wish some of us would just wake up. Yeah, I know you've been through a divorce. I know you've been through maybe multiple divorces. I know you've lost your baby. I know you've been through maybe an abortion. I know you've been through those things. Don't live there. I want to pull you out head first. Get your mind. Anybody going to help me today? I want you to pull yourself out head first. Come out. Come out. Come out. I've got to come out. I've got to come to my senses. The only thing that got him out was his thinking. Some of you have been around your life, so where you're standing, you've got to come to your senses. It's not where I want to be. It's not who I am. I'm better than this. Then you need to come out. If you want to have an amazing year, you want to have amazing marriage, you want to have amazing kids, you want to have amazing experience in this life, you're going to have to change your thinking. You're going to have to change where you're at because it's your new mind that will give you a new year, nothing else. Don't wait for somebody to call you and it's going to change you. It'd only be a temporary change, anything. So what you have to do is speak. You got to speak the desires of your heart. You have to speak the impossible situations. You're going to have to do that yourself. Tell your neighbor, I'm just not going to waste another year. Honey, I'm not wasting another year. I'm not wasting another day. I'm not letting the devil steal my potential. See, you need to have passion. But the one passion that's the greatest is a passion for your potential. Like many of these pastors here, they did what I did. I go into a church. I have over 2,500 or 3,000 seats with 300 people. Hadn't paid their payments for 3 months. 6 months, they're probably going to take the church, the bank. Church owes everybody, and I didn't know this, If I would have, it might have changed my decision. But I go there. I stand there on Sunday and I'm looking at 300 people with 3,000 seats. 300 is good, but put it in a church of 300 where you feel a bit better. And of course, people are sitting where it looks like there's only 10 there. You know, and they're all over the place. You got people sitting in the balcony. I'm like, what are you in the balcony? Nobody's here. So what do you do? Oh, Lord, horrible situation. Can't believe I got to take this. Can't believe. Listen. You think us pastors, you walk into this church right now and say, boy, they've got it good. Don't they have it good? Look at this church here. You don't see the early years, huh? You didn't see my life. You didn't see my life while I'm in a garage. Oh, I can't believe what you have. I'm in a garage. Got a little music stand in a garage. Then I went to a high school cafeteria. That's great. You know? Then I'm in a lounge at a hotel. Oh, but look what he has now. Look at all the thousands that come now. Look at all the acres. Look at all the things he has. You know, you don't understand where I went through. I'm standing up. I would go Saturday. I don't know if my wife knew it, but I go preach in the church on Saturday. And I would preach to a full house. And I'd get up there and I'm seeing people on Saturday. Nobody's there. I'm seeing people in the balcony. And I'm looking up talking to them. I'm looking at people over here to the left and right. And I'm just, what am I doing? I'm thinking. I'm thinking ahead. I'm seeing something. See, some of you have fear and scared to do that. You know what fear is? It's faith in the devil. That's all it is. So I don't have fear because that would be believing what the devil's telling me. I don't have any fear. So I'm basically preaching. And oh, if you could have seen my altar calls, 1,000 would come down to the altar. Thank you. Yeah, God, I see you coming down. See you coming from the balcony. Yeah, I see that. And all these people getting saved. And it's just incredible. And I'm praying that. And then the next day I'd go in and I'm preaching to 300 people. Okay, I got to do this again. My suddenly wasn't working. And so I'm waiting. Yeah, and God, and listen, no, I believe exactly what he's saying, but you got to understand, your suddenly is when God says suddenly, but you have to prepare yourself for the suddenly, because if he gives you a suddenly too early, you don't appreciate the work that went into it to be able to appreciate it. You understand? So I'm preaching. I have now 5 services. Okay, who would have thought? 5 services. In that empty building, the building's full now on a Monday night prayer meeting of people praying. Who would have thought that that little thing of faith, being foolish enough to believe for something like that, that all it was, what did that take for me to do that? I had to change my mindset. This is not what I see. This is not what I believe. This is not the best for me. God, you didn't call me and shake the dirt out of my life to let me just sit here and just to agonize over why you're not doing something. But God, I know you want me to grow and you want me to believe. So I'm going to believe the impossible in my life. And when you believe that, oh, you've got an impossible God that can pull it off. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet and give God some praise. I got to stop. I went over. I'm sorry. Come on. Praise the Lord real good. Thank him. Thank the Lord. Now, let me hurry. Bow your heads. Okay, watch this. How many of you are ready? You ready to leave the old? You got to leave it all. Your old life, your old mindset, everything you kind of think that you know for something new. How many are ready to do that? Lift your hand. It's pretty much everybody, but here's what I want to do, just for the fact to show the devil that we mean business. I want us just to walk out, even if you only have to take a step to another seat, because you won't be able to get down, but the first guys, come on down to the altar, and we're going to fill up down the aisles is what we're going to do. Come on, walk out. Listen, if you want it, walk out. If you want to stay. It's up to you. Come all the way forward, because there's a lot of people going to come. Come on. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Yeah. Old, I don't want it anymore. I'm not going to live this way. I'm not going to go ahead and live this way stuck where I'm at. Some of you are tired of life already and you're sitting in this church. I'm hearing the word of God and I'm still not fulfilled. It's your thinking. I'm telling you guys, there's a lot of things God can do, but it's your thinking. It's the way you think. You can hear a message, say that was a good message, and still not be changed. You're not hearing anything. Yeah, just if you take a step, even fill the aisles up, that's okay. Just so the devil realizes that I'm not, it's just like a move, like I'm not staying where I'm at. What does the Bible say? Hebrews. Take off every weight. Put on. Okay, you understand? It's all through Scripture. Take off and put on. Okay? What if I only put on? Watch this. Most people come to church and what you're doing is trying to put something on, something old, every time you come. Because we think if I put something on, it's like, let me ask you this. You are dirty, you smell, you haven't taken a bath, and you put a coat on. And then what happens the next day, you put another coat on top of that. Then you put another new coat on top of that. You put another. Have you changed your smell? No. So when you put something new on something old, it doesn't change the smell at all. How many eggs does it take in an omelet to make an omelet bad? It just takes one. I can have 10 good eggs. I put one bad one in there, it destroys the whole thing. So what is that saying? If I get rid of the bad and I only use the good, you can use that in every illustration. And what I'm saying is we're making that mistake in our Christian life. And I just came to help my friends here and realize what I'm telling you I had to do myself. I blamed, how many are married here? Raise your hand. That's a real happy group too, you notice that? Yeah, they're married, okay. How many of us, when we first, and I had no picture of what marriage was supposed to be like because I had a dysfunctional, let me just say that I don't think there's ever any functional family I've ever met, but everybody's dysfunctional. So I didn't know how to respond to my wife. I didn't know how to talk. I didn't know how to, I just shut down. I didn't do anything right. I think most of us men can tell you that we didn't know, or the women, if you weren't raised right. But what I'm saying is that I had a certain mindset. That's a mindset. I didn't see my dad do that. They never worked anything out. They always argued and they never talked. You know, so I guess I've never learned from him how to work things out. So I would just kind of go the same, you know, we kind of end up following that stuff, and it was a mindset. They're mindsets that have been placed in us since we're children, see? And that's what we've got to get rid of because we're trying to get something new, and it's a struggle is I'm trying to go someplace, but you still have some old areas. So what I've got to do starting today and continuing this, not just today, I've got to break this. Everything in my life is going to come from thinking. My daughter's been sick for 25 years. What is the only thing she's holding on to? Every doctor has said we can't do one thing to help you. Everything she's tried has not helped her. She's got to remain positive in her mind. And she's got to keep confessing. And I've never seen anybody as strong under being so much pain. We think we're in pain. And she still, our whole family, there's no one stronger than her. I don't know if I could go through what she goes through. But her thinking is always on healing. It's, doctors, we don't have any hope. That's okay. I've got a second opinion. I've got somebody else that tells me by stripes I'm healed. I don't know when, but I know he promised. See, I know he's promised us. I don't know when. That's okay. I'll hang on, and I'm going to keep growing until. Take your right hand, put it over your heart. This whole church is getting ready to go to another level because I see the strength. I see openness. I see people that are honest. I see you very open to get everything done. Pastor Shane and Georgia, y'all have built just by this, just what I see. Just this one part could tell me everything about who y'all are.